It is good to see everyone. I am very grateful that you were here in this mad dash last weekend of spring break. A lot of people out to try to get it in before school starts again. That sprint to the end of the school year, most of you parents understand that. Coming to the end of the school year, boy, everything just kind of packs up. They got to get everything done. So it's good to see everyone and to have you here this morning. And those that are online with us this morning, looks like it's been fixed, and they're getting us live streaming this morning, and so we're excited about that too. This morning I have so much to say, but don't have the time to say it. So I need to listen carefully to the Holy Spirit so that I unpack only what He wants said. And listening is going to be a very strong theme throughout this sermon. Seems like a detachment from maybe the atypical moving towards an Easter journey series of messages, but it's exactly where we need to start. And my opening verse will seem disconnected from the Easter journey, but it's exactly the verse of Scripture that needs to be talked about this morning, so that I do what I'm supposed to do with all that I have that I want to say. Let's pray. Father, I come to you now in Jesus' name, and I submit myself to listen to the Holy Spirit and to say what you want said, and that all that's within me, Father, would be organized by your Spirit and delivered in the manner and the way that you want it. And what doesn't need to be said won't be said. And now, Father, I pray for everyone who is here that they'll have ears to hear, to listen. In Jesus' name, amen. Back in the disciples' time, they didn't have these to reference. They didn't have this as a reference. It was being written. They didn't really even have the first five books of the Bible because there wasn't a publishing company mass producing it. There was just a few on hand in different places. And let me tell you how people learned: hearing the word, listening, because they didn't have it in print to look at. There was a few that had it, and they read it. And let's step back to the letters from John, letters from Peter, letters from Paul, letters from James, letters from Matthew. They were read. The letters would come in, and they would be read. So people had to be people who, what? Listened carefully. The Bible tells us it's by the hearing and the hearing of the Word of God. So it's going to be important this morning that we have ears to hear, to listen. Because in part, you're going to see and experience how God speaks to me through Scripture, and how He wants to speak to you through Scripture. Yes, I know exactly what happened in the moment that the Scripture is being read and what is happening, but God will take what's happening and what's being read to ask me questions about how are you living your life. So we need to have ears to hear what the Word of God is saying. Not just read words, but are we listening to the words we're reading? Is that making sense? Are we listening to the words that we're reading? This will not be on the screen because you're going to practice what? Listening. And hearing what the Word says. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture. Does it say part of the Scriptures? Some of the Scriptures. The church has got to get back to the reality that the entire book is needed. Period. All Scripture is breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction. We bypass those two words. No, in my world, God just teaches me and blesses me. No, God wants to reprove some things in your life, but He definitely wants to bring some correction. He loves you too much not to. And for training in righteousness, that the man, woman, boy, girl, teenager, preteen. With our grandkids, we got them all over the place in those ages. That the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. All Scripture is what? Breathed. By who? God. We have got to get back to all of the Scriptures are breathed of God and we need to receive them. Not read a verse and go, well, I don't know about that. Maybe in their day, but not my day. No, their day, your day, and someone else's day. It's breathed by God. And we need to be receiving it. We need to be listening to the Word, not just reading it. But we need to be hearing what the Word is trying to say to me. Now, let me pause here for a moment. I don't even know if I'll get through my whole sermon. Stay with me. I'm going to follow what the Holy Spirit's telling me. Take last week when our youth pastor was preaching. Really, the core of his message, there was a lot of stuff in there. But there was a lot of Scripture. I hope you were listening to the Scriptures, not just reading them with him. But hearing what the Scriptures were saying. He was talking about two primary things. We are to know Him. Who? Jesus. So that we can what? Make Him known. Okay? We need to know Him so we can make Him known. Throughout that message, he has all these verses of Scripture that he takes the time to read. We need to be listening to what we're reading. When someone preaches up here besides myself, I'm listening. I'm not letting my head talk about what I think about what they're saying. I don't start thinking about yesterday or tomorrow. I'm focused on what? Listening. God, what are you trying to say to me? Now, as a pastor, I'm hoping everybody's being spoken to, but there comes that time in a sermon where I'm not thinking about everybody else. I'm thinking about what is God saying to me through the Scriptures, through the sermon. Where are we in listening to what God has to say? If all Scripture is breathed by God, what should we be doing? Listening to what we read. We need to be hearing the Word. And you can't hear the Word if you're formulating your own stuff in the middle of what's being said instead of focusing on, I need to hear something from God. Well, I've heard that before. I know that. I know this. See, the know-it-all part of it is what's ruining our ability to grow in the kingdom. I need to say, yes, I know that's true. Yeah, I could do that. And say, well, you know, I'll take a break for the rest of the service. No, I may know that's true, but what else you got for me, God? There's something here you need me to hear. And I need to be listening from start to finish to find out what God has to say to me. Does that make sense? That's the way we as Christians should be living our lives. Oh, it's just another sermon. No, it's not. It's another opportunity to hear what God is saying to you personally. We're going to step into something Jesus did that's very significant, that does not get talked about. And in the process, we're going to learn some things this morning. Jesus, on multiple occasions, communicated in advance his death and resurrection. Well, is that important? Yes. Because there's lessons to learn. Why? Because if all Scripture is breathed of God, why are we bypassing those Scriptures? Anybody with me so far? Why are we bypassing those scriptures? Well, that's just that he talked about it. Let's get to the meat of it. Wait a minute. You don't think there's meat in that? Yes, there is. There's things God wants to say. As he was telegraphing in advance what would happen to him. And the first occurrence happens after Peter confesses, "You're Jesus. You're the Christ." Peter is one dude, I'm telling you. I think most of the disciples thought Peter was going to get them killed at some moment along the way. Because Peter didn't know how to shut up and listen. He always had something to say. He did. We're going to see that. I mean, he did. He always had something to say. You know? And he didn't even listen to his own commitments. What he committed to. You know, it would probably be good if we went around with a recorder. You might find out in a week's time you made a lot of commitments. You've yet to keep one. I've had people always say, well, you know, there's the Peters in life. Well, I tell you what, when I think about a church as a whole or just a church myself, I think all of us have been Peters. We've all been Peters. As my grandfather said, Peter was a piece of work. Oh, yeah, he was. He has confessed Jesus as Christ. Now, let's read Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. I'm going to tell you what, the disciples did not listen. The only thing that stuck in their mind was, he'd be killed. It is. Because later we're going to read in a moment, and I'm going to tell you what Matthew had to say about how they felt. Now, in Matthew and Mark, it records that Peter rebukes Jesus for his statement. Before you get down on Peter, let me explain something here. Peter's just told him, "You're the Christ. You the one. You the man. And I'm submitted to the man. You're the one. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to die with you. I'm going to do all these things. You're the one. You're my leader. You're the guy I'm going to submit to until you say something I don't like. And that changes. Now I'm on your level." I hope somebody's listening. Now I'm on your level, and you're not. I think some of you are already concerned where I'm going. Hang on. Mark chapter 8, verse 32, and it said, and he said this plainly. Jesus said this very clearly, very plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. He went from the Christ to dude. You need to listen to me now because you just messed up. I don't like what you said, and I'm going to tell you what I think. I'm going to tell you how the cow eats the cabbage, and you're going to listen to me, and you're going to receive my rebuke. Well, I didn't rebuke my boss. I didn't say something I shouldn't to my boss or to another authority around me. No, I didn't. I just shared with them how I felt. No, you rebuked them, and they're your authority. See, there's a piece in here we're missing. Do we trust God with the authority he's put over me, or do we not? He called him the Christ. You're the Christ. But I don't know that I trust you being the Christ if you're talking about dying. Well, he said he would be raised again. Peter didn't hear that, okay? Got to understand. He didn't hear it. All he heard was death. I need to rebuke this dude because we need him to kill the Romans. Got to understand where they were coming from. He rebuked him instead of keeping his mouth shut and listening to everything Jesus said. Here's what I would have been going, Jesus, you're going to die. You're going to rise again. Now, how are you going to do that? Instead of having the right questions, intriguing questions to ask, he pulls him aside and does what? Rebukes him. Because he's not listening. We miss that. He's not listening. He declares one thing and then does something else. We must be careful with that. It's one of the reasons that I'm in authority. I know that. But I also submit myself to authority. It's one of the reasons I do all the things I do in several different communities. I submit myself to authority because it's good to do that. Because it's good to do that. Because you can show others how this should be done when things aren't going just exactly right. There are the right questions to ask. There are the right ways to communicate. But I can't imagine, Rochelle and I just met with some overseers in a particular ministry and that we're a part of, and we told them we're all in. Does that mean everything will always go smoothly and right? No, but you won't catch us pulling the leadership aside and rebuking them. Well, you're just giving them some godly advice. Right. That has to do with an attitude, right? Was Peter's attitude right? No, he was rebuking him. He wasn't respecting the Christ. Are we together now? He wasn't respecting the Christ. We have to ask ourselves, are we respecting what Jesus is telling us to do? When he says something, do we believe it, or do we fight and argue with him, and do we almost rebuke Jesus for even thinking I should have to do that? What do you mean I got to love him? Let me have a talk with you, Jesus. Yeah. I told God I'd obey him. Mark 8, verse 33. Let's learn some more. But turning, I love Jesus. But turning and seeing his disciples, pause. Right, you got to get this. You got to live the word. You got to get this. Jesus, listening to this, he's the Christ. He's listening to this. And Jesus does something I think is so cool. Jesus, you know the disciples are over here. Peter's pulled him away. They're over here probably just tore up over what he said. They're talking. They watch Peter pull him aside, which they all had problems with who's first. That's what Scripture says. They were always battling over who was the greatest. You know, remember, John thinks that Jesus loved him more than all the disciples. And he pulls him aside, so they're watching what's going on. They may not can hear everything that's going on, but they're watching. And I love what Jesus does. Jesus turns and looks at them. Well, why is that put in Scripture? We need to what? We need to live the Word, and we need to see and hear what's happening. This is going on. Jesus turns and looks at the disciples. What's the purpose? To get their attention. Have you ever done that? You're over here in a conversation, but you now want some others to be involved in the conversation? Come on. Or you're getting ready to say something, and you want them to hear it? Come on. Jesus looks. I can just see it. They're all like, uh-oh, Jesus is looking at us. And then Jesus speaks. And it's not what Peter's looking for, and it's definitely not what they're thinking is going to happen. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter. Wow, Peter shouldn't rebuke Jesus. Not a good thing. Let me give you a truth in here that we need to receive. If the word's alive, be careful how you treat others. Because what you sow, you could reap tomorrow. Come on. That's what this is about. We don't read this. We don't see that. But that's what we need to see. Be careful. He rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan." Oh, I can see the other disciples. Yeah. Put him in his place, man. He's going to be out of here. Now one of us can step to the front. Isn't that human nature? I put myself in it. I mean, somebody thought about that. "Get behind me, Satan. For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. I cannot read that passage of Scripture without the Holy Spirit asking me, Corey, where are you setting your mind right now? Is your mind on the things of God, or is your mind on the things of the world? In this moment, Corey, where is your mind? Is it on tomorrow? Is it on yesterday? Is your mind on this problem and that problem and that problem? Or is your mind on the things of God in this moment where I'm trying to speak? Or is your mind on things that don't matter right now? What's being said is what matters. Because God wants to speak to me through His Word. All this making sense? This is how we learn from the Word that's breathed by God. That's just for Peter. No, it's for all of us. Okay? It's for all of us. It's for all of us. And if we think about how we treat other people, many times our mind is not where it should be, because if my mind is on the things of God, I would treat them better. Come on. I would treat them better. As I have studied Jesus' life and sat down and just let the Word speak, let me step this out there. I encourage you to make this your number one book. This should be what you read more than anything else. But take seasons where all you do is listen to the Word, where you can pause it and hear what God is trying to say to you. Hearing the Word, you hear something, pause, Father, speak to me. You're reading it. Don't be in a hurry to read. Read. You're not trying to be a speed reader and get through stuff. If you need to pause for 2 days on one verse, pause and let Him speak to you. Let God speak to you. But as I've studied His life, there's one word that leaps off of the pages of the Bible about Jesus' behavior. And it's one word, it's resolute. Jesus was absolutely resolute concerning His mission on earth. Totally, completely. He was completely in His behavior. Absolute in His mission. I've penned a truth about His behavior. Jesus was habitually, constantly, consistently, unwaveringly, steadfast, unmovable in His mission to get to the cross for us. And you can't read the Scriptures and argue with that reality if you're hearing what the Word is telling us. But here's the point I want to bring out. Let's get back to Alex's message last week. Two key points is to know Him so we can what? Make Him known. Let me ask a question based on what I just shared with you. Are we habitually, constantly, consistently, unwaveringly, steadfast, and unmovable in the mission to know Him and to make Him known? Do you think the way Jesus lived His life was just for Jesus? Jesus lived a life that was totally and completely absolute, resolute on the mission. He was our model. But what we want to do is say, that was Jesus, I got a different path. And the path I'm picking is going to be a whole lot easier. And Jesus didn't ask us to pick our own paths and make it easy. Jesus wanted us to pick a path that says, I'm going to be habitually, constantly, consistently, unwaveringly, steadfast, unmovable in my mission to know Him and make Him known. When we study the Word, and I see this in Jesus' life, I start realizing that this is what people need to see in my own life. And so the Holy Spirit starts asking questions as I'm reading verses like this. Corey, where is your mind? Are you absolutely resolute in the mission of knowing the Father so you can make Him known? Where's your mind? Is it on Him or is it on things of the world? The second time that Jesus brings up that He's going to die was at the Transfiguration. I love this passage of Scripture. Everybody reads it and wants to get to the young boy who was delivered. It's all a part of that. Transfiguration, the healing of the demon-possessed boy, but it's what happens on the mountain because it's Peter again. You got to love Peter. Let's go to Matthew chapter 17, verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus took with Him Peter, James, and John, His brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And He was transfigured before them, and His face shone like the sun, and His clothes became white as light. And behold, there appear to them Moses and Elijah talking to Him. And Peter said, pause. Are you kidding me? Come on. Are you kidding me? I mean, His face looks like the sun. His clothes are bright white. And then Moses and Elijah show up. I'm on my face, and I ain't looking up until I'm told to look up. Not Peter. Oh, my gosh. I know what we need to do next. And he starts spouting it out. I'm going somewhere with this. Hang on. And behold, there appeared them, Moses and Elijah, talking with Him. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. I'm still astonished. They're having a conversation, and Peter interrupts them. Let's start living the Word. Let's get in there and see what's going on. Can you imagine? I mean, I'm already having, like, you know, having anxiety over the fact that this boy wasn't. Are you kidding me? And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. If You wish, I will make three tents here, one for You, one for Moses, one for Elijah. I like that part, if You wish. What was Jesus thinking in that moment? Father, can I take him out now? Oh. What's wrong with this guy? I'll just send him home. You deal with him. He interrupted when he should have been listening. Here's me. I'm on the ground. I ain't looking up, but my ears are about this big because he's having a conversation with Moses and Elijah. And I'm right there where I can listen. And all Peter can think about is talking. How often do we do the same thing when we go in before the Father or we're in His place or even in this environment and we're talking in our head about things that, and we should be listening? Or the Father speaks something and then we just immediately start talking and we don't listen to all of it. Or you're in an environment where somebody says something, but you've got to be the authority. Yeah, you got to let everybody know you know that too and that you know even more. What about just sitting quietly and finding out what you don't know? Well, I know all that. No, you don't. There's always pieces of information you don't know that you need. See, when I read this, I'm challenging myself. I'm reviewing my day or reviewing my week. Anybody with me? Because the Word's what? Alive. It's breathed by God. It's trying to speak to me. Am I letting it? And am I listening? This is wild. Hang on here. He was still speaking. Man. It doesn't print everything he said, but this boy never shut up. He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And a voice from the cloud said, pause. Here's what I see. It's like God looking down and going, Peter, shut up. I'm going to make you wish you hadn't opened your mouth. And you'd been listening to the conversation going on because it would have benefited you. But now I'm going to have to get in here and do something that's going to terrify you because you ain't listening. You mean God's going to do that? No. What I'm saying is, how often has God had to come in and just to get our attention? Anybody been there? Because we're not listening. And if we'd have been listening, he wouldn't have had to have done that. But he loves us too much to let this thing just keep going. We've got to learn to listen. It's like God just hopped over and said, Peter, listen to what God says. There's another point. I'm over here. I'm James. I'm looking at John. I know you think Jesus loves you more than the rest of us, but I'm going to tell you what, Peter's just blown it. We're all about to die. Him and his mouth. He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Wow, what a revelation. Peter, dude, that's Moses. That's Elijah's, and that's Jesus. It looks like some morning star right now, and all you can do is talk when you should be listening. Come on. Y'all want me to get on to a regular Easter story message, don't you? We need to be listening. I love this. In verse 6, when the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. I would have been up front, you know? I mean, like, man, I'd been listening. Are we listening? That's the message today. Are we listening? Or is God having to do things that he don't want to do, that we're forcing so that he can help us if we would just listen? Rochelle and I have said things to each other. If I'd have just listened, we wouldn't have, that moment wouldn't have happened. Am I the only one? Got to listen. Mark 9, chapter 9, verse 30. And they went on from there and passed through Galilee, and he did not want anyone to know. For he was teaching his disciples. Now, this is after all this has happened. He didn't want anybody to know. So he's teaching his disciples, saying to them, The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise. But they did not understand the saying and were afraid to ask him. Can I just kind of put myself in that conversation that Peter wasn't listening? How much you want to bet that Moses and Elijah were encouraging Jesus because they knew what's going to happen and they were having a conversation about the future? Think about it. And Peter just had to. And the two buddies with him are listening to him. I hope somebody's hearing God this morning. And Matthew tells us in one place where he penned and said that they were greatly distressed. Why? We're going to look at that here at the end. Now, the third time was when they were approaching Jerusalem at the end of Jesus' days. Now, a note, if you study the scriptures, word was getting out about what Jesus was saying about his death and resurrection. He would tell people, don't do this, don't say this, but guess what they did? They went and told people anyway. And based on what I know about the disciples, they didn't keep anything to themselves when he said, don't tell anybody. They went and told everybody. Luke chapter 18, verse 31. And taking the 12, he said to them, See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him, and on the third day he will rise. Now, Jesus had other areas in Scripture where he was more subtle with his references. He used metaphorically teachings to talk about his death, told some people that if the temple is destroyed, I will raise it up in 3 days. He was actually talking about his body. They were looking at a literal temple. Matthew and Mark also, Luke, record that Jesus also compared his death and resurrection to that of Jonah's. In Matthew 12:40, says, "For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." So why does all this matter? It matters for a couple of reasons. Up front, there are many reasons that will come out in the sermons that I have. I won't point to them, but you'll know them when I get there in the next two sermons. But I'm going to cover two of the reasons. One of those reasons that gets missed is the stone. Jesus kept talking about his resurrection. In a typical burial, they would not have put the type of stone in front of the entrance to where they buried him. To fulfill Scripture and for the miraculous event that took place, there had to be a stone put in front of the entrance. So Jesus is bringing that up. See, everything fits together. Jesus isn't saying stuff by chance. It's on purpose to bring about fulfillment of Scripture. That's why every word in the Bible is breathed of God, and we need to be listening to it. You think, well, that's no big deal. He was saying all that in front. No, it's a huge deal. It's a huge deal. Matthew 27:62. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember how that impostor said while he was still alive, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day." If Jesus hadn't said any of that, would they have done that? No. Every word in the Bible is important. And everything Jesus said matters. It's not by chance. So we need to be listening to every word of the Bible. Another reason that he shared all this in advance was so that they would know his deity. And they would know his true purpose for coming to this earth was to be a sacrificial lamb. All of this in advance so they would get it. And why were his disciples distressed? You have to understand, they thought Jesus was coming to raise up an army with swords and shields and spears, and they were going to take over the country and wipe the Romans out. That's why they were distressed over hearing he was going to die. They couldn't hear he would be risen. All they heard was he would die. We don't need him to die. We need him to build an army so we can get rid of the Romans. That's why they were distressed. But, you know, we can be the same way. God, you know, I don't really want you to be very gracious with that person. I want you to just go. But is that what Jesus came for? No. My final word is very short this week, which is uncommon. Why is this sermon important? It reminds us that Jesus is still reminding us that he came to earth to seek and save the lost. He came to seek and save the lost. Are we getting to know him so we can make him known so lost people can know the truth and the truth set them free? But we've got to get to the place where this word here is accepted as fully alive, breathed of God, and every bit of it matters. And nothing is being said by chance. It's not just a cool moment in the Bible. If it's in the Bible, I need to be studying it. If Jesus three times telegraphed his death and burial and resurrection, then I need to be finding out why. Are you with me? I need to find out why. And what in that do I need? It's all important. This message is is really the journey to Easter. You know what the journey to Easter is? It's listening. Are we listening to our Father who gave His life for us? Are we listening? Would you stand for a moment with me? Colin, would you go ahead and come? I'm going to ask you, I really felt that I was going to have everybody come to this altar. I thought that's what God wanted, but He didn't. He said, I want to talk to everybody one-on-one. So right now, God wants to talk to you, and I'm going to ask you to listen. And I'm going to turn this over to Colin, and when he feels an appropriate time has passed, then you can be seated. But right now, listen. What is God saying to you?